Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A judge now has ruled that Cal State San Marcos has violated a pro-life student group's First Amendment rights. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this case involves a pro-life organization that was discriminated against by California State University of San Marcos. The federal judge, James Lorenz, of the Southern District of California, has now issued an order stating that California State University of San Marcos engaged in viewpoint discrimination against the Students for Life chapter. This is good news, and it makes a common sense ruling. This kind of discrimination against Christian speech, religious speech, conservative speech on these college campuses is quite widespread, so this is a great victory.
Yeah, so apparently the pro-life student group, they were rejected regarding their request for funding for an event, even though the money came from a mandatory student fee.
That's right. Yeah, this is a mandatory student fee. It's fairly, according to the guidelines there, guidelines provide these fees to be able to go to the different student groups. But the school ultimately
refused to provide the fees because they're pro-life, right?
Yeah, because they're pro-life.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's the judge ultimately ruled. He said this, quote, "The court disagrees with defendants," which is the state, "that the ASI Leadership Fund," that's the student funds, the Associated Students Incorporated Funds, that's what it's called, ASI. "The court disagrees with the defendants that the ASI Leadership Fund process disperses the mandatory ASI fee based on viewpoint neutral criteria." In other words, he said, "I disagree with your argument. These are not neutrally distributed. Based upon the evidence before me, you're distributing these based upon deciding different viewpoints, allowing the subject matter to be talked about." In this case, they would no doubt allow abortion as the subject matter to be talked about. And they would provide the ASI funds for pro-abortion organizations, but not pro-life organizations. And he also said, "Although the ALF guidelines set forth deadlines by which the ALF applications must be submitted by recognized student organizations, and a policy to distribute ALF funding on a first-come, first-served basis, which the court now finds are unconstitutional." So what they ultimately say is that these policies violate the Constitution because they're first-come, first-served.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, they were discriminated against them simply because the group in question was Students for Life.
Yeah, because these student fees should be available to all the clubs. All the students put money into that. And, you know, we see that not only in this pro-life situation, but we see it with Christian clubs being discriminated against on universities. You know, we represent the organization with the Good News Clubs, and they're being charged fees or they're not being allowed to meet, whereas other clubs can do it.
Yeah, we have this a lot. We not only represent Good News Clubs, but also other Christian student clubs. But Good News Clubs, we represent them all over the country, there by Child Evangelism Fellowship. And they focus on elementary school, K through 5.
Right.
And there's been a major Supreme Court case in 2001, June 11, 2001, that ultimately ruled in favor of the Good News Clubs against a New York school that was censoring them because of Christian viewpoint. And then we've been litigating these cases all over the country. Thankfully, we have never lost a case involving the Good News Clubs at the final stage of any of our litigation. We've never lost one. But what happens is they always try to come up with ingenious ways to stop these clubs, whether it's Christian clubs or, in this case, a pro-life club. And sometimes they'll say, "You can't meet at all, deny complete access." But others, just like you, can meet. Other times they say you can meet, but unlike the others that, like in Good News Club case, meet right after school, you have to wait until, say, 6 o'clock in the evening. Well, they're giving you access, but at the wrong time, meaning that it's pointless, because if you can't meet right after the school is out and you have to leave the campus and come back a few hours later, that's going to be worthless when they allow the other groups right after. Then they have other options. Well, you can meet, but you can't advertise your club. Well, that's not helpful either, because no one knows you're on the campus.
Right.
No one knows that's an opportunity for parents to select. Or you
they
can meet, but we're
them,
going to
they?
Charge
yeah.
you. We're going to charge you, but we're not going to charge these other similar organizations. Mm-hmm. They come up with all kinds of ingenious ways, and every single one of them we've been able to shoot down. So this issue of censorship on public school campuses is not only against the pro-life clubs, but certainly against the Christian clubs as well. We actually have a Patriot's Handbook regarding religious freedom rights of students in public schools, and it addresses the constitutional issues regarding equal access to these public facilities. And the bottom line is, there are different kinds of what's called public forum. There's the traditional public forum, and that involves streets, sidewalks, and parks. Those are public forums that have been, from time immemorial, held as places of expressive activity. Streets, sidewalks, and parks. They can never be permanently closed to free speech. You can regulate time, place, and manner so that you wouldn't be able to use perhaps a bullhorn at 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock in the middle of the night. But that doesn't mean that you can be excluded from that traditional public forum. The other is the major forums, and these are what's called the designated public forums. These are public places that are not streets, sidewalks, or public parks, but they are public places where the public entity has opened it up for expressive activity, i.e. after-school clubs, soccer club organization, a speech club, a chess club, in this case, other different political clubs or pro-abortion clubs, whatever it might be. And now you have in that venue, that public venue, where it has been open for the public to use for their own private speech, now they want to exclude from that same venue the equal opportunity for viewpoints that they don't agree with.
You know, and it's so important now that school is back in session that students know their rights, that once they walk onto school campus, they don't lose their rights for free speech. Or if they want to have a book club to study a Christian book or something like that, they don't lose those rights. They just have to know when the appropriate times are.
Right. Students on public school campus, for example, let's talk about just the rights of free speech of students. Separate and apart from accessing the facility for a specific club meeting, for example. Students don't lose their constitutional rights when they enter the schoolhouse gate. That's been the Supreme Court ruling for decades. That means that before class, after class, in between class, during non-instructional time, which could be lunch hour, could be other kinds of times during the day, during any non-instructional time, before, after, in between, or other non-instructional times, students have the right to engage in speech. And that means verbal speech. And it seems common sense. If you come on campus, you have a right to be able to talk to your friends before class starts. Now, in the middle of class, when the classroom of math, for example, begins, you can't just simply be chatting with your friend. The teacher can control what takes place during the beginning and ending of that class in terms of not having disruptions. But in between class, during non-instructional times, you can engage in verbal speech.
Like your lunchtime. Remember the little boy we represented a couple years ago who wanted to give out Bible verses to his classmates during lunchtime
during
and
lunchtime.
After class.
And so if you can engage in verbal speech, you can put the same speech in print.
Right.
So if at lunch you can, and certainly you can, talk to your friends about Jesus, you can give them a little card talking about Jesus, a gospel tract, a little note. In this case, the young man that we represented and his family would put these little notes in the lunchbox,
right.
Little scripture verses.
He wanted to share them with his
and
friends.
And he would read them. And then the other children, his friends, saw what he was reading. They wanted to read them.
Right. They asked for them.
So they wanted more.
Some.
And so his mom would give him more. And he would pass them out to his friends that wanted them.
Right. But then the sheriff showed up at their house.
Unbelievably, the police were called. The sheriff literally showed up at the family's house.
Yeah.
Told them to stop, that there would be consequences. Well, we got involved, fortunately.
Thankfully,
and we resolved that situation. Well, go to our website, lc.org, partner with Liberty Counsel, go to the subscribe button at the top, the tab, click on it, and you can subscribe to one or more of our emails and also the newsletter, all free of charge. Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, that's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.